Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the Transformers. On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we talk about a new Transformers video game, give our non-spoiler thoughts on the new Cyberverse special, and review Beast Wars number 9 from IDW Publishing. Today is Friday, November 12th, 2021, and this is episode 259 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's replaced Transformers Angry Birds with Transformers Tactical Arena in our hearts and iPads. I'm your host, Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Hello, everyone. And with another intro, Charles, you have given me terrible flashbacks to things I didn't want to remember. Transformers Angry Birds should not have been a thing. Why are you doing this?
I jacked into your brain, Dr. Pants. I'm just figuring out all the ways to the best ways to torture you. I'm just
oh my God, what have I done to you guys? No, that's fair. Sometimes I need that.
You know what you did. And Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going? Now I've got the Transformers Angry Birds song stuck in my head. Thanks, Charles.
There was a song?
There was a whole soundtrack that Vince DiCola did.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been listening to the podcast?
A while, but I really don't remember that at all.
It's like I blacked out the movies. But anyway, let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to help out the show and help make this possible. If you'd like to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. That's where you can sign up. And one of the perks of being a Donatrion is that you get access to all those uncut episodes of our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust, the first and only Transformers RPG podcast. And episode 63 will be out next week. This is only for Donatrion. So this is the uncut bonus edition with all the extra content left in. And then the regular episode of Empire of Rust, episode 63, will be out the following week. So this one is exclusive to Donatrons, will be out Monday, November 15th. And then the next, the regular episode, episode 63, will be in on the free feed on Monday, November 22nd. So you get it a whole week early, but don't spoil it for all the other listeners, please. And Mike, who is our awesome producer and editor and who runs the Empire of Rust game and podcast, he's also got some extra content this week because he's on the latest episode of the Autopod Decepticast, and he's helping those guys review the G1 Classic episode War Dawn. So you can check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. So go take a listen.
You might say that he is the Emperor of Rust.
He is.
That's good. That's good.
That's fair. Everything he touches turns to rust. Oh. we'll work on it.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump right into the show with our comic review.
All right, we are looking at Beast Wars number 9 this week. This was written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham, letters by Jacob Wood. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. The editor is Jasmine Joyner. And the supervising editor is David Mariette. And there are 3 covers this week, and they all pertain to something that happens in the book, which is great. Cover A is by Josh Burcham, and it features Scold swimming underwater. Cover B has Black Arachnia and Pterosaur fighting, and this is by Priscilla Tramontano. And the Retailer Incentive is by Alex Milne, and it has Razor Beast emerging from his stasis pod. All three of these, I think, are great, and they all pertain to something in the story, like I said. So, Dr. Pants, which one of these do you like? What would be your favorite?
Probably my favorite is the RI cover, because, oh man, that just, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So much color going on, so dynamic. I love the steam coming off of Razor Beast as he comes out of there. Plus, I love Razor Beast design. I think he looks great. I will say, with cover A, I didn't notice this before, but above the water, are those Vok looking down on Scald?
Oh, I didn't see that before, but I think I just
noticed that. That's a really cool little detail. I thought it was just Scald in the water, and it's I think it's a bunch of Vok looking down on her, which is,
or no, I think it's the what are they called?
The Iron Wolves.
I think that might be what it is.
Oh, maybe okay. That too.
But even then,
it's a cool. Cool detail.
Do we know? Have they been called the Vok in the comic? I don't know if they're something different. Like if they've been called something different, or have they've not
explicitly
been
called that. But I mean, it's what they are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He could be throwing us a curveball. Like, I don't know. You know, I was just curious.
It's a good question, but still cool detail in cover A. But my favorite was the RI cover. It's beautiful. I wish I could have grabbed that cover. It looks so good.
All right. Charles, how about you?
So yeah, I think all three of these covers are pretty awesome. Definitely Alex Milne's cover is great, but I'm going to go for cover B by Priscilla Tramontano. I just really like the image here, especially, you know, the part in the story where Black Arachnia basically kicks Pterosaur's ass. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoy this rendering here, especially, Pterosaur's expression as he's, you know, completely undone by Black Arachnia, and then Waspinator and Scorponok in the background cheering. And then Megatron just looking on. Megatron's got like that grin, like, yeah, this is exactly what I want, is to see my minions, fighting amongst themselves. And I guess this is, you know, weeding out the weak or whatever. But
this new one is going to work out just fine.
Yeah, exactly. And even Scold is in the background there. Scold's just looking on, like, you know, and that pertains to the story too, because she thought she found an ally for a minute, and then not quite. But yeah, I just like that image.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I think this is going to be a rare time that we all have different images, because I am going to pick cover A. I mean, I like them all. The RI cover especially is just, the detail is awesome. But before this comic, I really didn't have much of a connection to Razor Crest.
Razor Beast.
Razor Beast. Razor Crest is a whole different franchise. but Razor Beast, I just, you know, I've never really seen the Japanese series, so no connection there. But this series is really, you know, from introducing Scold in the first issue, I mean, it just really made me care about the character, and it's really, you know, great cover. So that'd be the one I pick. All right, let's go into the summary here. Inside the Dark Side, Megatron is congratulating Tarantulas on his plan for updating the protoforms, and then he thanks Black Arachnia for actually executing the plan and getting around half of the protoforms converted to Predacons. Now they have to find them, and there's no way to tell if the stasis pod has been reprogrammed or not until it's been opened. Megatron begins plans for getting groups to search, and Black Arachnia says that they're all going to be within 500 clicks of a maximal base, because that's where she was when she was programming it. Scold suggests that Black Arachnia team up with her, but instead she gets an insult before Black Arachnia says that the flyers are going to be able to cover more ground and need to search. And they're the ones that need to search. Skuld then brushes off Scorponok's request for her to help with some maintenance, saying that she wants to be alone, and she wanders out of the ship. Later, she realizes that she's low on energon when her internal computer says that there's a nearby lake and her alt form can convert creatures that she consumes into energon. She does just that, and while she's underwater, she spots a stasis pod that's been crashed into the lake bed. She drags it onto the shore, and the onboard computer and the onboard scanner quickly identifies an alt mode for the protoform. Soon, the maximal razor beast emerges, and he thanks his new friend for helping him. In Unspace, three Vok witness this, and they're interested in the bots from the two factions and seeing how they interact. One suggests that they initiate an experiment on the two. Razor Beast asks if there's a base he can report to, and he's confused as to why a Predacon was the one to find him. He's not on the edge about Skuld being a Predacon. He's just curious and asks her to tell him her story. She explains that she was an artist on Cybertron, but she quit when she was bullied by Maximals because Predacons shouldn't be interested in things like that. Megatron saw this and recruited her to his cause. Before she could get any further in her story, however, she hears a howl of some iron wolves. She and Razor Beast quickly try to fight through the pack, but Razor Beast is unable to fight them all off. Skuld works her way through the beasts, and she saves her new friend shortly before he goes into stasis lock. She quickly realizes that the maximal base has the closest CR chamber, and she heads there. Primal and Dinobot greet her, but she refuses to talk with the traitor and addresses Optimus. She explains what happened and that she owes Razor Claw her life, and Primal promises to do what he can to save the new bot. As she leaves, Dinobot tells Skuld that she hasn't stuttered once since she has been there, and maybe it's because she knows that she'd be better off with the Maximals. However, she refuses to join, and she tells Dinobot that at least with the Predacons, she knows where she stands. The Maximals just hide their cruelty behind a mask of kindness. Then she warns her former teammate that the next time they see each other, she won't be merciful. And that is the issue. I mean, kind of a quick read, but a really good character development for Skuld. A nice introduction for Razor Beast. And I think it was really fun. And the art was great. I kept seeing when we saw Razor Beast in his alt mode, I was just thinking that some of those kind of reminded me a lot of Pumbaa from The Lion King, just in the way it was drawn. And, you know, I'm sure they're the same type of animal, but it was just kind of funny just thinking of the two of them singing. But I don't know, it was a fun issue, and this series continues to be very enjoyable. I'm hoping it goes on and on. I like seeing kind of this Ultimate Beast Wars universe where things happen just a little bit different than the way we remember. Dr. Pants, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the book?
Well, as the number one Beast Wars fan on this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, I have thoughts. I just wanted to be able to say that since Daryl's not here. number one, thank you guys always for doing a Beast Wars issue when I'm on here. Cause oh my God, I love this series so much. And number one, Josh Bertram being back on the book doing art. I love his artwork with this book so much. Winston did a really, really good job with the two issues before this, but Josh, just his art clicks with me so much. I loved this issue in particular. I've liked Skuld since the beginning, but seeing her get this character development, I feel so bad for her in everything that's going on. And I really want nothing but good things to happen now because of just her backstory, like being bullied out of art school. That's terrible. And then she makes this great connection with Razor Beast, who's a character I'm happy to see. And is a character who was never in the original show. I had his toy, but he was never in the show. And it's cool to see him. And he and Skuld just make this really great connection. And it's so emotional and so great. And I want Skuld to win. I want Skull to yeah. win the Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Because she deserves it. And yeah, it's just the whole thing is really, really great. I love also this weird moment where she's like wondering what to do with Razor Beast, and she sees like the tiny little adorable looking Megatron tarantulas like talking about what they would do. And you know, that's mm-hmm. exactly what they would say, like trying to just like kind of strip him for parts.
Yeah.
But it's just really good. I also like the stuttering thing that the Dinobot brings up. I hadn't noticed it much, but then when I went back looking, like, yeah, she was stuttering a lot, but didn't as much this episode or episode issue once she meets Razor Beast. So,
yeah.
But it's,
I mean, I think it was great that just the introduction of Razor Beast, he just doesn't take, you know, he takes what he's given in terms of like, okay, there's a Predacon here, but there's no animosity or anything. He's just like, so what's going on?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he was great too. He was just like, cool. Tell me what's going on. Tell me your story. And he's just so happy. And yeah. And I want to see more of him. I really, really hope that he wasn't just a one shot character. I hope they do heal him and he's okay. I want him to come yeah. back. But yeah, now the whole issue was absolutely fantastic. I love this book so much. And oh God, give me more Scald. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really sad that I didn't like at TFCon, I didn't go to Josh Bertram and like, give me all your Skulled art. I need it all now. Cause now I love yeah. this character so much.
All right. Charles, what are your thoughts on the book?
Yeah, I gotta say I'm in total agreement with everything Dr. Pan said. Seeing Josh Bertram back on the book, that's great. And having his artwork back. I did get a chance to chat with him at TFCon a couple weeks ago. And yeah, because that was before issue 9 had come out. And I said, yeah, are you coming back to Beast Wars? And he said, yeah, I'm coming back on issue 9. I think he said he's got the next few issues, but he doesn't know, you know, if he's going to be there, like how, you know, if he's going to be in indefinitely or whatever. But yeah, it's great to have Josh Bertram back, and hopefully I floated the idea of getting Josh back on transmission so we could talk to him about all his work on Beast Wars and stuff. And he's definitely up for that. So crossing fingers, look forward to that. We'll try and work that out. The story was great. I really enjoyed this focus on Skull. This was the one character that I think had not gotten a lot of backstory in the last 8 issues or so. So it was good to get an issue really fully focused on her, and see what her, you know, what her motivation was. And I like the fact that she's, you know, she owns being a Predacon. She's not like, you know, immediately like, and she's really resentful of Dinobot for switching sides. I really thought that adds another layer to her character, and you know, she really values loyalty. Even, and you know, I think even with you know, with her teammates not being, you know, being kind of jerks to her, I think Megatron has still been pretty you know, pretty inspirational to her. So probably she still has a lot of loyalty for Megatron, because you saw like in previous issues, Terrasaur in particular was, you know, also bullying her and talking down to her. But, you know, we don't see a lot of interaction between her and Megatron, but then we see this little flashback of Megatron recruiting her, and you can see why she's still loyal to him. So that's interesting.
To be fair, Terrasaur is a dick to everyone though. So
yeah. That's true. I mean, he is the Starscream, I guess.
Well, I am wondering if he's going to get his comeuppance like he did in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, Razor Beast as a new character was cool. I had not seen the Japanese show really much at all, but I do remember Razor Beast from the Beast Wars comic. So Simon Furman had written a Beast Wars comic for IDW in the early 2000s, and Razor Beast was the main character there. So that's my only recollection of Razor Beast. But here in this introduction, I thought was a good introduction for him. I think it's also interesting the way they present, like when Maximals or Predacons are born, they're basically imprinted with all the knowledge of who they are, or like where they come from and everything. So he's got basically all the knowledge of what the state of affairs are on Cybertron and Maximals and Predacons. So he knows who he is and who they are. And I guess, you know, since they are technically at peace, they, you know, he doesn't see anything weird with Maximals and Predacons working together. So I think I thought that was an interesting, you know, kind of for, it gives us a little bit of backstory on the state of affairs on Cybertron without really hitting you over the head with it, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
I did like the whole the battle with the Iron Wolves was very cool. And seeing the Vok or unspecified aliens messing with the Transformers was interesting to see them continuing to run some experiments. I think this whole book, it had the right amount of action, the right amount of backstory and lore, and then the right amount of character focus. So yeah, all the ingredients for a good comic. And it's a self-contained story. It's kind of a one-shot story. Good job.
I like that the action was with these Iron Wolves and not Maximals or Predacons. So the, you know, Razor Beast and Skulls had to work together.
Yeah.
So it's just, it created this bond that, you know, is going to be revisited in the future when they meet each other in battle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
And we see a little bit of savagery from Skuld. You know, at the end, she wins the fight, and, you know, one Iron Wolf is trying to get away, and she's like, "No, you're not getting away."
Mm-hmm. Actually, I meant to ask, but have they brought up any reason as to why these Iron Wolves are here? Like, because they're mechanical beings on what we're assuming is still prehistoric Earth, like. That's weird.
I feel like this, we might not be on prehistoric Earth. I mean, there's a lot of, at least even in this issue, like Megatron says explicitly, like maybe they did, but he says explicitly, we were not trying to travel through time because that could messing with the space time continuum can have severe blowback. So in this comic, Megatron is already aware that you can do time travel with Transwarp, but he explicitly rules it out because he doesn't want to screw with the timeline. So that's an interesting difference to where Megatron was in the show. Maybe this planet is just a playground for the Vok or unspecified aliens, and they can teleport in creatures from all over just for their amusement. That's what it seemed like. The implication was that they've brought creatures from other planets here.
True.
Maybe it's future post-human Earth.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that's the setting for one of the Japanese Beast Wars series. That's like post-apocalyptic Earth.
Mm. Yeah.
Really need to watch those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for our comic review this week. Let's go on, I guess, to media news.
All right. And I've got media news this week. And the first bit up is the official Transformers Instagram gave a heads up of the official release of Transformers Tactical Arena on Apple Arcade. So this game is out. You can play it on iPhone, iPad, Mac, and Apple TV. It says a card-based battle arena game in which two players compete to take down each other's towers. It's very much like Clash Royale, if anybody's ever played that, where basically you get character cards, you summon them on the field to attack your opponent's towers and whatnot. It's very quick. The matches are, what, like 2 minutes, I think?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. And, of course, you get all the classic characters, Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, Hot Rod, like all that are in there. And there are no microtransactions, so you unlock everything just by constantly playing the game. And, Charles, you and Jeremy have been playing it.
Yeah, it was fun. I think we did a little video so you can see Jeremy and I battle it out in the arena and on our YouTube channel. It may or may not be up by the time this episode goes up, but look for it. If it is up, we'll have a link in the show notes. If not, wait a couple of days and we'll make sure to announce it when it's up. So Check it out. And yeah, we've been having fun.
I was there and I did watch you guys play it, and it does look like fun. It makes me wish I had an iPhone. So yeah, I might just steal the missus and play it a little bit, but you do have to have, Apple Arcade. So make sure that you have that, but that's a pretty cheap subscription. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that there's no microtransactions, it that just makes it so much better just in terms of you don't have ads, you don't have, you know, it's not ever asking you for money. That's awesome.
You can't play against somebody who just dropped all the money and got all the legendary characters just cleaning house on everybody.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, if you're like me and you suck honestly.
That was brutally honest, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you saw the video. You were there.
I still say it was because you were playing with a mouse. I'm giving you all the credit that you were playing with a mouse. Charles was on a touchscreen. That was, that's why, but you say what you want to say. I'm trying to help you out here. But, aside from that, we have some Cyberverse news. So, the Transformers Bumblebee Cyberverse Adventure Season 4 official trailer did go up, so we can check all that out. And, there are two specials coming out. The first one, well, it's already up. It went up on the Global English Transformers YouTube channel, November 6th. This is a 44-minute special. It will be streaming on Netflix in the U.S. beginning November 22nd. Part 2 will release on November 20th on YouTube and then December 22nd on Netflix. So Part 1 is The Immobilizers, and Part 2 is called The Perfect Decepticon. So we're basically, you know, getting our Season 4, which is cool because a lot of people really like Cyberverse. It did a really good job of bringing in a lot of stuff from all the different continuities. So it says it's out, and I didn't watch it though. Did you guys?
Yes. I watched it. So it was the YouTube video was 44 minutes. So I guess the Cyberverse episodes were 11 minutes. So this would be the equivalent of four Cyberverse episodes, which would be like an hour cartoon. So it was cool. I enjoyed it. It was very much centered on Grimlock and the Dinobots, and it was a fun adventure. And it was nice. It was very Cyberverse. I've enjoyed the whole of Cyberverse, all seasons 1 through 3, and this was very much continuing the fun taking what the Cyberverse version of the Dinobots would be. And it was very interesting. Like the origin story for the Dinobots is very different from the G1 Dinobots, other than Grimlock. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you guys can go look at it and enjoy. It's if you like Cyberverse, you'll like this.
Yeah. And I watched it with the kid, and he has never really seen any Cyberverse before this. So I was curious to see if you would like it, and he really enjoyed it. And then afterwards we started going through, like, I just threw him into Season 3, Episode 1, you know, just kind of said, you know, kind of briefly told him where they were, because it's like Season 4, the battle had been won. So I'm like, okay, so we're going back a season, and we watched, I think, the first 4 or 5 episodes of Season 3 as well. And he really enjoyed it. He had a lot of fun. He's a big Dinobot fan in general, but when he saw some of the other characters that showed up, he was like, oh, you have that one, and had to go and take a look at it and stuff. So it was great. And some of the little things that they put in this show, like characters you see in the background and stuff, but also there was a scene where you see a tablet, and apparently in Cybertronian has a bunch of YouTubers that have reviewed Cyberverse were listed in Cybertronian. And I think that's just a really neat thing. They're kind of, thanking and acknowledging the fan community. So, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I do think if you're looking for Cyberverse, the first 2 seasons are on Netflix right now. And I believe like earlier they had taken down season 3 of Cyberverse from the Hasbro YouTube channel, but I think they've put it back now. So you can see,
I think it's all up on YouTube.
Yeah, all of it. Okay. Yeah. So
I think so.
So yeah, you may or may not be able to watch every episode of Cyberverse on the Hasbro YouTube channel. At the very least, season 3 is there, and then season 1 and 2 are on Netflix. I wonder if season 3 will go up on Netflix when they put this movie up, because this is essentially season 4. So it would be weird to have season 1, 2, and 4 on Netflix and not season 3. That would be weird, but I don't know.
Right.
The other thing that always has me scratching my head is what the branding is for Cyberverse. Like, really, the first season of Cyberverse focused on Bumblebee, but that season was just called Cyberverse. Now at season like 3 and 4, it's Transformers and Cyberverse are in little type, and then Bumblebee Adventures is in big bold letters on the show. But Bumblebee is barely in this show. I mean, he's there, but it's a really ensemble cast, and a lot of the minor Transformers characters get a little bit of spotlight in the show, which I appreciate. So I'm wondering why they are constantly putting Bumblebee Adventures up in big lights there when it's not really focused on Bumblebee.
I would say it's one of a couple of things. Number one, it's probably because, you know, Bumblebee is their character. That's who they always used to try and get the kids into it with, because that was like the kid focused character back in G1 and the kid focused character in the movies. So that might be why. My other guess is maybe when the whole series is done and it releases, the whole series might be changed to just be called Bumblebee Adventures, because it started with Bumblebee, and maybe that's just a branding thing, even though he's not in the later seasons that much. The other thing might be international, like titling it something for international audiences and trying to reconnect that, because RID 2015, I think, was called Transformers Adventure or something.
Oh, okay.
So I want to believe that maybe they're just doing that for overseas. Otherwise, I have no idea. Otherwise, it's stupid.
Yeah, Bumblebee is not the main character of the show at all.
Yeah, but you know, it is what it is, and Bumblebee, you know, is the marketable name.
Mm-hmm.
No, but anyway, last thing in media news, moving away from Cyberverse to what everybody wants to talk about, the live action movies.
What?
Jeremy, I know you're thrilled. There is an impressive, at least that's what the article says, Transformers movie car collection for sale. So Curate, a Miami-based vintage supercar dealership, are working with Michael Bay to offer this great collection of both Autobots and Decepticons from the live-action movies to the fans. So they've got Dark of the Moon 2010 Chevrolet Camaro Bumblebee, The Last Knight 2016 Ford Mustang Barricade, Dark of the Moon 2010 Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG Soundwave, and Age of Extinction 2014 Lamborghini Aventador. I hope I'm saying that right. That's not even, was that a character? There's no character name next to it. Or was that just a car somebody drove in there? Anyway. I mean, come on. We all go to see these movies for the sweet cars. I mean, to heck with anything else. But all of them are used in the filming of the movies. They will come with they will come complete with original movie footage and documentation from Michael Bay himself. You can contact Curator for more details. The complete lot is offered at $2 million.
Okay.
So
let me get my wallet.
Come on, guys. If we all pool our money, we can all get some of these great cars, right? We've all got the where's that Patreon money going?
It's not quite that much.
Not quite that much? Okay. All right. That's fair. But I mean, this is great, but seriously, first of all, personally, like the only one I think, if anybody saw you driving it down the road and would recognize it as a Transformers car, is the Camaro, because everybody sees that as Bumblebee nowadays.
No, I'd say Barricade as well.
This is true. This is true. Because Barricade was around quite a bit. So, and he's got the, he's got like the details and everything on him that like make him seem like Barricade. But seriously, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG, the first thought through most people's minds is not going to be like, hey, it's Soundwave. Because, like, no.
Soundwave's a tape player. He's not a car.
I mean, even still in the movie, I thought it made more sense when he was a communications satellite in Revenge of the Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, whatever. Do you guys have anything to say on this? Otherwise, we can just move on because it's movie stuff and we don't have to sit here talking about this.
So we always talk about the part of the fandom that gets like the really expensive statues and stuff. This is for a whole nother section of fandom. And it's probably more just general movie fandom. Or it's going to go to some group that then takes these cars and, you know, to conventions and stuff to make more money off of them.
It's true. And there are collectors out there of, you know, sports cars and everything who are going to want to, who want cars from movies and like that. So there is a fandom out there. I don't think it's anyone who's in the Transformers fandom like we are.
Right.
But, that's it. That's all I got for media news.
All right. And we will move on to convention news.
All right. TFCon Toronto has announced that David Sobolov will be attending the show. He was the voice of Depth Charge in Beast Wars. He was also Shockwave in Transformers Prime. And he was Blitzwing in Bumblebee. So he's got a number of good Transformers credits. He's also the voice of Gorilla Grodd on the Flash TV show. And he's a really great voice actor. I've seen some interviews with him, and he is always an entertaining interview. He's going to be doing some Q&A panels and have some autograph sessions. So if you are going to be at TFCon Toronto, make sure you go and check him out. So I'm really kind of upset that I'm not going to be at TFCon Toronto because he's one that I'd really like to meet. And then we mentioned this in the toy show, but TF Nation has announced a 2022 in-person show. This will be August 12th through 14th. I can go to tfnation.com for more information. But on this Saturday, November 13th, so if you're in the UK, likely closer to when you're listening to this, if you've rolled over your 2020 tickets, you will have 24 hours advance access to purchase the new optional add-ons. And then everything is released to the general public on Sunday, November 14th. So check out tfnation.com for all the details. And I'm really happy to see them back. And that is it for convention news this week.
And that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. As always, we end the show by giving a shout out to our Masterpiece Stone Natrons. So thank you again to John Forex Levengood, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Septimus Solvane. You guys are awesome and amazing, and thank you for continuing to support us at the highest level. If you also want to help us out by buying some merchandise at our TeePublic store, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. That's where you can look at all our shirts, masks, other merchandise, lots of cool designs there. Of course, if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that will help out the show. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And Dr. Pants, thank you again for joining us this week. So tell everyone where they can find you online.
As always, thanks for having me. You can find me and my friends doing the Nerdstradamus thing at Nerdstradamus.com. That'll give you links to where you can find us. But our main output is, of course, YouTube. Our channel is just Nerdstradamus. You can find us posting videos about gaming and nerdy things in general. And hey, it is Friday when this releases, which means at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, my co-host Lambo and I will be streaming on the Nerdstradamus YouTube channel. So come check us out. Hang out with us. We are currently playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So, yeah, come hang out, say hi, and just, you know, chill for a while.
All right. And not a lot of predictions on Nerds to Dramas, are there?
So we used to, and we were wrong a lot. So,
just like Nostradamus.
It's true. I could go into the history of the name, but just know that's what we took. And it just stuck. So yeah, not a whole lot predicting anymore. So you don't make
any quatrains?
No.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Oh my God, Daryl was here the whole time.